Good morning. You know, if you grew up in the church or you've been coming around for a while, the scripture that I'm going to be reading this morning will be familiar to you. And it may be that this morning is the first time you're going to hear these words. And if that's the case, that's pretty cool too, because this is a wonderful story about how God showed the early church that God's Spirit would be with them always and would always speak to them in ways that they could understand. I'm going to be reading this morning from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Men of Judea, and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The normal challenge for the preacher on Pentecost is to convince the church that the Holy Spirit is on the move in the world, that church is more than just our little boxes that we put church in. To convince a church that sometimes can get a little too in love with the way we've always done it, that Christ is alive and he is risen and he's on the move and we are following him. And the Holy Spirit fills our sails and gives us that God energy to do what God's calling us to do. This year, I feel like we understand that because of life in the pandemic. Now, I'm not saying that the pandemic was some kind of gift of the Holy Spirit. No. But I will tell you that the response to the pandemic, all Holy Spirit. Every scientist I know says, you know, to make 3 really effective vaccines like that, work of the Holy Spirit. We've learned that the church does not close just because we close the building. How is that possible? The Holy Spirit is out there and in here, but also out there. We've learned how to keep the main thing the main thing. You remember VBS was online last year and everybody could access it? We started live streaming worship, which would have been a straight up impossibility. You could have asked anybody. We don't have the money, we don't have the technology. That's a terrible idea until the Holy Spirit required it, and then it happened. Remember when we cheered in hospital parking lots as doctors and nurses ended their shifts at work? Remember when factories shifted from making whiskey to making hand sanitizer? Look at God. Outside the box living. We've learned how to do it. And outside the box church, too. Maybe we learned that all the things we thought were so important back in 2019 was not as important as we thought it was. Maybe we realized we'd gotten a little too attached to some of our rules and our boxes and our stuff. Who knew that you could do so much work without leaving the house? I had no idea. Who knew that all those little squabbles that are part of church life would go away in the midst of a global pandemic? For months, I got no complaints about stuff that I thought was like a major argument. Look at God. Could it be that we've discovered that Jesus is more important than our arguments? We stood shoulder to shoulder, 6 feet apart, and we said, how is God calling us to praise God now? Our mission, praising God, growing disciples, serving the world. How do we praise God in a pandemic? And the Holy Spirit worked, and the Holy Spirit gathered a team together and made it happen. How do we grow disciples in a pandemic? How do we do a confirmation class in a pandemic? And God gathers up a group and makes it happen through the Holy Spirit. How do we serve the world during a pandemic? And God enables our ministry to pivot to food distribution and mask making in the blink of an eye. We've learned not to take for granted those things that really matter. Love, community, discipleship, hugging people. I will never take it for granted again. Caring for one another, looking at what we do have, not what we do not have, and asking how God is calling us to use those things for God's purposes. Banding together to wish one another a happy birthday from the lawn. Serenading one another through nursing home windows. Remember last year's confirmation service? It was outside. The Holy Spirit worked just fine to confirm those kids. Pentecost was a shocking, world-changing event that fundamentally changed the disciples' understanding of God and the church. It helped them understand what they thought was so important may not be. And this following Jesus thing was going to be much more of an adventure than they had ever thought it would be. The first thing I notice is all the believers were together in one place, which in 2021 feels like a miracle right there. And if they were expecting a nice, manageable encounter with God, you know, Jesus making fish for them again on the beach, stuff like that. That's not what they got. It wasn't a sweet heavenly dove situation. It was like a pterodactyl of grace. Tongues of fire tearing open up the heavens and the walls of their little fellowship broken open. People who had nothing in common. People who would not have been a part of one another's pods, okay? People from all around the world suddenly being able to speak and be heard. So much for church that we can control. so much for our little boxes. It was so insane, people thought they were drunk. When's the last time that church was so wild and crazy, somebody came in here to breathalyze me? If it was a birthday party, it was one that a party planner would never have thought of and would not have approved. And it certainly disturbed the neighborhood, too. So this morning, as your preachers step out of our plexiglass boxes, it's a great time to be reminded that the Holy Spirit is the thing that makes the church a church. It is wild and untamed. It is a rush of a mighty wind. It breaks open boxes that we would build to contain it. And the Holy Spirit is unleashed on the world. The Holy Spirit is sort of like the outer force field of God, for those Star Wars fans in the house. What do I mean? I mean that wherever God acts today, it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. How can I say that? Because there's not a guy named Jesus in the flesh standing next to me. So for God to work with the world, it is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moving people to act, calling people to prayer, making people connect. The Holy Spirit activating gifts in every single one of us. It is that little nudge that you feel to say the loving thing when you don't really want to. It is the nudge to help, to take the risk to be vulnerable. It is the nudge to serve. It is the nudge to stand up and speak out against evil, injustice, and oppression. It is the nudge that says, please stop talking and listen. I get that one a lot. It is the voice of our conscience when we are tempted to sin. It is the voice that whispers, use your gifts. Be generous as your heavenly Father is generous. Serve your neighbor. It is the voice that reminds us of those words of Jesus that Pastor Anna quoted earlier. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And how is that possible? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't catch things on fire. The Holy Spirit catches things on life. It brings things to life. It doesn't burn, it brings to life. Life-giving. How do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Well, very often, fruits of the Spirit show up. Why they call them fruits of the Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit brings them to the party, like dishes to a potluck. So if love comes in the room, that's the Holy Spirit. If joy sparks in a space, that's the Holy Spirit. If peace breaks out among brothers and sisters, you know that's the Holy Spirit. If goodness and kindness show up, that's the Holy Spirit. In times of trial, the Holy Spirit is God's presence with us in those long, dark nights of the soul, bringing comfort. The Holy Spirit is what makes it possible for us to be patient and to be faithful. When we cannot pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us with sighs too deep for words. And the Holy Spirit disrupts just as much as it comforts. Lutheran pastor Nadia Boltz-Weber says, the Holy Spirit brings the comfort of the truth. Yikes, thank you very much. I would prefer the comfort of some chocolate is the kind of comfort I want. Brings the comfort of the truth. And if you've lived longer than about 2 weeks, you know the comfort of the truth is often not the comfort that we're looking for. But that's the kind of comfort that really heals. It's the kind of comfort that catches things on life, brings things to life, the truth. often when the Holy Spirit is at work. It's like the rush of a violent wind that knocks down the little tents of comfort that I have painstakingly set up. And I don't know about you, can't speak for you, for me, when the Holy Spirit is at work, the first feeling that I feel is not excitement. It's not. The first feeling in me is the way that I feel when my children make me go on a roller coaster. It makes me scared. It makes my mouth go a little dry. It makes my palms get sweaty. I feel a little nauseous. That's my initial response. Oh man, you're kidding. Am I really going on this ride? That's usually my first response to a nudging of the Holy Spirit. And my eyes get wide like I'm sure they felt when the tongues of fire descended. But the Holy Spirit has my back, and it knows me. It knows I'm nauseated, and I got the dry mouth, my palms are sweaty, and I want to run out of the room. So the Holy Spirit then will often gather a group together, many of whom like roller coasters. And they will circle around me, and they will say, "Come on, Pastor, you can do it. This isn't scary, this is exciting. Don't you have a stole around your neck? Where's your faith, Pastor? Come on. We'll sit in the front, it'll be fine." Things like the time that somebody said, "Maybe we could reach even more people in a time of pandemic by doing Walk to Bethlehem as a thing where people stay in their cars." First feeling, panic, nausea. The room spun around. Next, a group of people said yes. And we got our third highest attendance ever. Holy Spirit things like when our church ELC board and our church finance committee and our church leadership board all circled up and said, "Pandemic or not, we will keep our early learning center open. We will pay our staff, and we will serve families." Nausea, room spun around. I wanted to run out the room, but the Holy Spirit had a different idea. It ends up being thrilling and life-giving, and looking back, you can see how God provided. But when you're going through it, the nausea, the sweaty palms, wanting to be anywhere else. Nadia Boltz-Weber, who I talked about earlier, is a special kind of pastor. She doesn't look like your typical United Methodist pastor, and she's Lutheran, so that might be part of it. But she doesn't look like your typical Lutheran pastor either. She's covered in tattoos. She's been known to say bad words, like really bad ones, during her preaching. And she started a church called the House of All Sinners and Saints in Denver, Colorado. And they have sort of a niche clientele, you know what I mean? Inner city. They prided themselves on being a home for people who would never feel at home in regular church, or at least that's their sort of tagline. They were artsy, they were indie. She said, "We did things like make art and sing only a cappella and sit in a circle." And then Nadia got famous. She started writing books and things. And then people started driving in from the suburbs to her cool church in the city. She said middle-aged people who wear Dockers and eat at Applebee's started coming. "Ain't nothing wrong with Applebee's, Nadia. Get over yourself." Anyway, she was worried that the people who had founded that church would look around and see people who look like their parents and say, "This can't be a place for me if they're here." So she called a friend of hers who said, "Yeah, Nadia, I'm really sorry, but that's the Holy Spirit for you. You're not allowed to just welcome the people that you're comfortable being with. You're also called to welcome the stranger when they look like your mom and dad and grandma and grandpa." And there was a rush of a mighty wind, and it filled her whole house. She said it was like the dove of the Holy Spirit came with talons, and took out her heart of stone and put a heart of flesh in there. She said it was about as comfortable too. But she said it was right, it was the truth, and it was life-giving. Holy Spirit. There's this little poem that was written in 1852 by a guy named Edwin Markham. It's real short. It goes like this. It's called Outwitted. He drew a circle that shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit very seldom walls off. The Holy Spirit breaks open. It disrupts. In the end, it gives life. A mighty wind that blows over our matchstick plans and fills our sails with something better. Something that God wants us to do. A mighty wind that pushes us to the other side of the lake. Sends us to places we never imagined we'd go. To do things we never thought we would do. Maybe that's local mission week. I hear the Holy Spirit calling you and your family to be a part of it. Check it out. A mighty wind that helps us look back and see that we didn't have to be afraid of all the things we were so afraid of. That God was with us in our little boat, at the helm, asleep on the cushion, and filling the sails. Years ago, before I went to seminary, I was a member of Glenmar Church. And we were planning to sell this perfectly good building with its paid off mortgage on Glenmar Road about a mile from here. Because we sensed God calling us to be a different kind of church. Blessed to be a blessing. We were called to grow. To build a building, not if you build it, they will come, but more like an outpost where we would be equipped for ministry and make a difference in our community. And that was really a Holy Spirit-filled decision. I can see it now. At the time, scared me to death, gave me dry mouth, filled me with nausea. So we hired this consultant named Kelly Fryer to come in from Chicago and kind of walk us through. And she was doing some little exercise with post-it notes. You know how we do. And all of a sudden I was like, a new church? Well, that's going to cost a lot of money. And the new church won't have a steeple. I mean, people won't come if there's a steeple. And I didn't want to like say it in the group. And I was feeling that wave of dry mouth and nausea. So I went to the restroom. So Kelly Fryer, after a while, comes into the restroom too, and I'm washing my hands, and I'm mouth breathing. And she goes, "You all right?" I said, "No steeple, Kelly, no steeple. They'll never come if we don't have a steeple." And she said, "Wait, you think this is like Pastor Andy's idea? This is a Holy Spirit thing at work here. God is in this, all over it." And man, was she right. We invited her back in after the building was built. I'm back in the restroom again. I'm washing my hands. She comes in. She says, "You know, if it had been up to me, I wouldn't have built that building." "What? How much did we pay you, Kelly Fryer? I want my money back." She said, "No, you don't understand. I wouldn't have done it. But God really wanted it to happen. Look at all the ways that God has provided all the way along. And what I want you to know, Mandy, is that you need to say, I wonder what God is up to with that building he has built." And I would have bet you $1,000. The one thing that would never happen is that God would call me to be your lead pastor. But God had other ideas. What is the Holy Spirit whispering to your heart today? How is the Holy Spirit calling you to take your next faithful step in your walk with Christ? Is God calling you to engage with the Bible more this summer? Maybe God is calling you to teach kids in our Christian learning program or join our prayer chain or give out of the bounty that God has given you so that we can keep blessing other people. Maybe God is calling you to ask for forgiveness or to give that forgiveness. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to God's people. Gifts that we know are not a reward for past service, but so that we can be a blessing to someone today. This is one example. This communion table was made by Chuck Hilterbrick and Dan Kagi, who clearly have gifts for woodworking that your lead pastor does not. They also made the kneelers, the new kneelers, that the confirmants will kneel on today as we talk to them about using their gifts. The Holy Spirit calls us to be one. And the Holy Spirit is the only thing that will make it so. And then the Holy Spirit sends us out to our neighbors to praise and grow and serve. And at first, it's dry mouth and maybe a little nausea feeling. Like the slow clatter of a roller coaster going up the scary hill. And you can't believe how you let people talk you into getting on this ride. But if we will be faithful, as we come into the station, we will see that it is exhilarating and it is exciting. And the church is about making a difference in the world. The Holy Spirit catches things on life, and she's a transformer. First, the Holy Spirit transforms the believer. Then it calls together a group, and then together they transform the world. Suddenly from heaven there came a rush, like the sound of a mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Amen.